This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin coming to you for the final time here in 2024. I was ready to come on this podcast, do a real quick victory lap about Carson Young taking it down, and then instead we get the victory lap from Wes, who, man, my guy couldn't have done anything more. It was your guy just went out and won the damn tournament, Wes. So good on you. If it wasn't my guy, at least it was yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Good job. So the crew as a collective goes 1-2. But yeah, Austin Eckroat, 11 birdies in the final round. He did bogey the par 5 on the 18th, so he could have got eagled on and went to a playoff. Mm-hmm. But second win of the year for Austin Eckroat. It was nice to actually get one in the fall. I've been close on a couple. You guys been close on a couple. Fall golf is hard. Golf is very hard with imbalanced fields and just not a lot as much time to put into it as we would in February through like August or January through like August, I should say. But, you know, nice to get one home. It's 45-1. So Austin Eckroat was Austin Eck Goat as he gets his second win of the year. And we have two more PGA Tour events. We have Butterfield Bermuda and we have the RSM. And then that is a wrap, thankfully, on the 2024 PGA Tour season.
Yeah, Kelly Bidlin, we love you guys. We'll see you in a year.
Yeah, we'll see you after the new year. Whenever we get into some real fields and some real golf. Kelly, a bit distracted here as we are doing this. Balancer is on the television, balancing gigantic things on his chin. And so, you know, I can just see it in his eyes. He's like, guys, I'm with you here in spirit, but my heart is with Chin Balancer.
All right. He just wrapped up, right? The final act was him standing at the top. Wait, what do you call the top of a ladder? What are those things called?
Yeah, just the top.
Thank you, Wes. That's what I was looking for. He's standing at the top rung of a full ladder with another full ladder that he's balancing on his chin at Chin Balancer.
Chin Balancer. Anyway, he got
shout
a follow
out to at Chin Balancer.
Yeah, he got a follow from both me and Kelly. So
instantly
we've increased his follower count. And
plus, you know, he looks like one of us. So that's the most important thing. You know what I mean? He looks like he's about 45. He's a little overweight, a little balding. You know, it's just, hey, it's one of us. One of us. Let's go.
Hey,
make that money,
Kelly. People aren't going to recognize you here pretty soon, man. You're slim and trim over there.
Yeah, trying. Thank you, drugs, and hard working out. Yeah.
shout out to drugs. yeah. Let me give a little shout out to drugs, and then
I guess I should clear that up. Zepbound. Shout out to Zepbound. Those drugs.
Yeah, he's like not the meth kind of drugs.
HR meetings tomorrow or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know who our HR rep is, Wes. Would I have to meet with Wes?
Not the bath salts type of drugs.
Your guess is as good as mine on that.
All right, guys, going to switch things up here a little bit. Just start out overseas here with Wes, because he's just got a couple plays in the account. So, and this is also my chance to say, Kelly, can't wait for that steak dinner as my guy finishes 5 strokes ahead of your guy in this past week's DP World Tour event. So, we'll just go. And I think it was a steak dinner and 2 bottles of wine.
That. That's right. I think it was. Wasn't me throwing out 50 and then you countering with 20.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So good to go. My guy, 5 strokes better than yours. So that's fun as well. But Wes, where are we headed and what's on the card?
We are going to stay in the United Arab Emirates, this time going to Dubai, of course, Abu Dhabi. The event last week, Paul Waring was the winner. My closest guy, Torbjørn Olesen, tied for 3rd with Rory McIlroy and Matt Wallace. Tommy Fleetwood top 5 last week. But now we go to Dubai. The Race to Dubai ends officially here at the Earth Course at Jeremiah Golf Estates. And Rory is, by the way, going to win the Race to Dubai title, barring like a total collapse, like finishing close to last and then Cheerston Lawrence winning the tournament. So he's going to win the overall points. He's 4-1 to win the finale here, where he's won twice. Tyrrell Hatton right behind him, 2-time runner up here, 6-1. Tommy Fleetwood, runner up last year and in 2019, 8-1. Tommy Fleetwood actually has his golf academy based here in Dubai. So this is kind of like a home game, even though he's never won on this course. Joaquin Niemann is here. He's trying to win and get those world golf ranking points because he is well outside the top 100 in the world ranking. So he can't get in the majors, you know, trying to get in that top 50 qualify for that. Shane Lowry, 16-1, Matt Wallace, Robert McIntyre, 20-1. So the only guys that were in that top 50, it's the top 50 in the Race to Dubai standings that make it here, were John Rahm, who just gave birth to, they just gave birth to their second child, so he's taking off. And then Ludwig Aubert, of course, had knee surgery, so he is not in the field this week. So this is essentially like the old European Tour, old Order of Merit. They call it the Race to Dubai now. So you do have 50 players in this field. One interesting wrinkle that I wrote about that's in the article up at vsin.com, top 10 non-exempt DP World Tour players do get PGA Tour cards. So right now, Kjerstin Lawrence, Rasmus Højgaard, Paul Waring, last week's winner, Niklas Norgaard, Matteo Manassero, Jesper Svensson, Tjor Borg Olesen, Rikuyo Hishino, Sebastian Soderberg, and Jordan Smith would be your 10, but there's a couple guys like right outside Tom McKibben, Guido Migliazzi, trying to get those cards.
Yeah, odds board for this event looks like Rory plus 360 over at DraftKings, Tyrrell Hatton plus 550, Tommy Fleetwood plus 750, Niemann 10-1, Shane Lowry 14-1, Robert McIntyre 18-1, Matt Wallace 18-1, and then everybody else 20-1 or longer. That is 10 guys 20-1 or shorter. Okay.
Yeah, the elite. There's a big separation, I think, from the top to the bottom. That's usually why you get class players that win here. Nikolai Højgaard, John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, Matt Fitzpatrick, John Rahm, Danny Willett. A couple guys have won multiple times. Rahm, Fitz, McIlroy, Henrik Stenson. But you very rarely get like a real long shot win here because of the format of the event, and it's the best of the best kind of on the DP World Tour that are playing this. So it's usually a shorter price guy. And I went with two shorter prices this week on this big 7,706 yard course at the Earth Course, Jeremiah Golf Estates there in Dubai.
All right. I like it. I think I found a bet for me already just randomly. Wes, what did you actually bet?
You know, I bet a guy that's certainly not going to win because he never wins for me and the price is way too short. I'm just going with gut here. I play Tommy Fleetwood at 8-1 here. I think maybe he finally wins on what is kind of his unofficial home course now, because I mentioned he has the Golf Academy right here at the estates. So, you know, he's played this tons of times. He's by the way, number 9 in the official world golf rankings. I was looking at the OWGR this morning. Tommy Fleetwood, if you could believe it, he's only won twice in the last 5 seasons. That's amazing. And to still be a top 10. I know some of it is some of the guys that went to live and, you know, they dropped down the rankings. But even if they were here, he'd still be a top 15, top 20 player. And he just hasn't won. But you look at the numbers, number 1 on approach, number 1 on GIR, number 2 in scrambling, number 2 in scoring average, number 3 in total strokes gains. He's done everything but win. And maybe he gets across the finish line here. And then I played only one other guy. I only played two guys here. I played Matt Wallace at 20-1, who was runner up here last year to Nikolai Højgaard. We actually did hit this event last year, and he tied for third last week with McIlroy. Remember, he won in our planned field trip over to the Swiss Alps at Crans d'Or Sierre at the European Masters. He's trying to make the Ryder Cup team for the first time. And he's, you know, mid-30s. He's 34 now. He's never made the Ryder Cup team, just never timed his good play right enough to make that team. A victory here, you got to think against this field, especially at the top end, that's going to clinch him a spot perhaps for next year.
Kelly, I'll double or nothing you. So basically, you'll either owe me like – we'll go somewhere and we'll have to go to one of those steakhouses that like puts the gold leaf on top of the thing.
The champagne celebration as they bring it out. Yeah.
Like we'll have to do that. Okay. Anybody 60 or longer on the DraftKings odd board? Cause that's just what I happen to have open right now.
Okay. I just wanted to follow up Wes's point about Tommy Fleetwood. How about 22 top 20s in his last 2 years of golf? That's how that dude just stacks cash. Stacking cash with top 20s, man. You don't need to win.
It's hard to believe how good he is, and he's actually – he's never won on the PGA Tour. He still hasn't won over here stateside, and the guy's got the game, man, and he's always, like, right there, just can never get across the finish line in a really massive event that hasn't been a DP World Tour event.
All right, I spotted one market that's intriguing to me, Matt, and then I'll get to our fun bet. How about top North American at the DP World Tour Championship? This is Billy Horschel -115. And then Johannes Veerman +135 and somebody named Aaron Cockerell at 5-1. I don't like Billy Horschel less, but is that not a bet?
Well, yeah, he has won. Of course, he did win earlier this year over at the BMW PGA for the second time over in Wentworth. So he's been traveling over here and playing some of these events. He played the Irish Open. I think he played the Dunhill Links, and because he wasn't part of the President's Cup team. So he's been playing several of these events and making a lot of money and getting a lot of world ranking points because he's finished very well.
All right, I like it. What was my number, Matt?
Oh, well, let's go 60 or longer.
60 or longer. Okay, 60 or I'm just going to still go with the guy I saw at 110. That's a fun name. Ugo Cusad. Ugo Cusad.
Nice.
At 110-1.
Nice. I'm going with a fun one too. How about Jesper Svensson?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Jesper Svensson for me.
He will be on the PGA Tour next year, more than likely.
Oh, there we go.
Earlier this year at the Singapore Classic. He's a real long hitter too. Another long hitting Swedish player. So I don't know if I'll bet this, but I'll go ahead and add one. What'd we say the line of demarcation was? 60-1?
61 or longer, yes.
You know what? I'll go with Adrian Meronk, who's I believe about 66-1.
And I see 55 at DraftKings does not qualify.
Pick someone else. All right, then I'll go. Okay, I was looking at
a head start on us because you actually handicapped the event.
I was looking at the odds checker grid. So you know what? Why not go with he's got to play for his card. He's a couple positions outside of the top 10. Let's go Guido Migliozzi.
All right.
70. All right, there we go.
All right, this is fun. This is good. Nice little bit. I'm looking this up because you brought up that Tommy Fleetwood has his academy there, and I Googled income tax, and right there on the UAE page, the UAE does not levy income tax on individuals. So if you're wondering why maybe some people are,
why these golfers are all based there. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. The UAE does not levy income tax on individuals. It says
so Nevada, Florida, United Arab Emirates. Sounds good.
Texas.
Texas.
Yeah. Except Texas, like property tax is like 7,000% or whatever.
I'm sure I'm missing multiple states, right? There's got to be at least four or five more.
Yeah, there's a couple other.
that just don't count to Matt.
there's a couple.
Got the big ones.
We are going to head here to Bermuda, the Butterfield Bermuda Championship at Port Royal Golf Course. If you go and you watch the flyover videos for this and watch the little some of the pictures and stuff, this looks like a golf course I would want to play strictly because it looks awesome, everything around it. So I just like this is I'm already in on this one. But Wes, we have a lot on the line here as we have some dudes that are on the bubble and trying to get into that top 125.
Yeah, and look, maybe some, if they even get a win, can get in that top 50 by the end of the year. If you get in that top 50 before Christmas, you automatically get an invite to the 2025 Masters. So that's on the line. The next 10 is on the line. That is 51-60. And if you finish in that range, you get in the Century. You also get in a Pebble Beach, which are the first two signature events on the tour next year. And then top 125, you get the full playing privileges for next season. 126-150, that is conditional status. So look up your FedEx Cup points. I know we thought, oh, we're done with the FedEx Cup. You know, that's already over. That's already been decided and won by Scottie Scheffler. Not necessarily. You got to look at these points, and that's why these guys have been playing these fall events pretty much every single week.
Kelly, you look at this one, short course. There's not a ton to this one. We've seen some pretty low scores here. We're really just worried about whether it's going to be super windy or not. So what did you kind of start to put into a model? What did you think was important this week when you were starting to put together how you were going to shape your card?
wind. That's what I think is important. It's kind of a bummer, Wes. Like, I feel like me and you have talked about this tournament affair. Wes, have you hit here a couple times, actually, like in recent years?
I did not, actually.
Or am I making that up?
I had a guy close, I think we had a guest. I can't remember who it was, Kelly. When you and I were doing shows many years ago at Nine on VSiN, we had somebody come on and give us Brian Gay. In 2020, and yeah. I can't for the life of me remember who it was, but he was 200-1 and he won.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought you were on Seamus Power 2 years ago. Anyways, this is I think it's a fun course to model and to plug in. I kind of wish it was I don't know. It's just so tough when it's in Bermuda because the wind is such a factor, and it's going to be windy. Just going over to the Windfinder and looking over at Bermuda, it looks like we're going to have sustained winds as high as 28 miles an hour throughout the 4 days. There's not really a day that's overly calm. Friday looks like it might be the most calm, but then there's going to be rain, it looks like, on Friday and Saturday. So plan accordingly for that. But yeah, Matt, it's kind of interesting here because the wind factors in so much that we talk about it being a short course, and then we look at off the tee stuff. Well, you read all these quotes from players playing this in the past, and they talk about how crazy it is with wind flipping mid-round on them and even directions that it's going and how on top of that you got to be if you're a player. And, you know, if the wind's at your back, it's already a short course. Driving distance ain't going to matter that much. But if you got 30-mile-an-hour winds in your face, some distance off the tee sure helps here, even though it's not very long. So factored all that stuff in a little bit off the tee. Good drives gained as well. Not exactly the monstrous fairways that we've seen the past couple weeks in some of these tournaments that we've seen. So a little bit tighter fairways. These guys will have to deal with some big greens, though. We saw that a week ago. That carries over to this week as well. Looked at approach as usual. Opportunities gained, birdie or better, which I feel like is just a staple in the fall swing. You need guys that score, right? Bogey avoidance. Three putt avoidance for me, and then Bermuda putters is really what I looked at with the whole course covered in Bermuda. So fun. Look, par three's got a tough set of par threes here. Rare that I even plugged that into the model, but I did this week. Just overall scoring on par threes, and how these guys have handled it over the past X amount of rounds. So threw that all in the cooker, and we'll see what we get. But wind really is the biggest factor here. So. Look, even if it wasn't a weak field, even if it was a strong ass field with this kind of conditions, you're gonna catch me dialing back a little bit, and I did once again. Hopefully, we can get one more home on the team before the season ends.
Wes, I am not a weatherman. I've never been to one single second of meteorology school and or taken maybe even a class in meteorology. So all I can do is Google and look and see that it looks like there's going to be kind of like at least 15 mile an hours for every day of the tournament, and gusts, like we talk about with football, right? That's what we're kind of worried about, where things can really get out of hand. It does look like there are some days and some times where the gusts can get into kind of the mid 20s, high 20s, maybe even low 30s. And so if that's the case, there are certainly going to be some golf balls moving in the air.
Yeah, no question about it. And if you look at the previous winners here, a couple times, including last year, Camilo Villegas was 24 under, 260, because the wind didn't really blow very much. But you've seen a couple other winners here that were at 15 under in between there. So that's why I think, you don't have a shot link data here. Because it's in Bermuda, so same thing as like last week in Mexico, so you are guessing a little bit, but approach, good drives gained, driving accuracy, Bermuda putting, strokes gained in windy conditions, a little bit of scrambling, I think is something you definitely want to look at this week.
Yeah, I basically just kind of put in a scoring model, and if I don't hit this week, then kind of so be it. Birdie or better percentage, birdie or better gained, some scrambling, so dudes can like kind of get up and down or whatever. Good drive percentage, total driving, and short courses is basically all I did in the model this week. So it's dudes who can go out and score and scramble a little bit, and if those guys climb the leaderboard, then I might be okay. But if not, it's probably going to look pretty bleak for me on the leaderboard this week. All right, Wes, let's start with you. What did your stuff spit out, and what'd you end up putting in the account?
Okay, ended up going with six this week. And one guy who the form isn't all that great necessarily, even though I think he's in that 51 to 60 mark. So I think he still could get in the first two signature events. But I'm going to go with a veteran player that's been out on the tour for about 10 years, has come close to winning, but has never won. He's actually been out there since 2015. He's got a third here in 2022 and a fourth here in 2021. I'm going to go with Patrick Rogers at 33-1. You know, think that he's highly motivated, obviously, to get in those first two events. So would expect, based on previous form, that he'd play pretty solid here. Somebody that's looking like he's very popular this week. I've played him a couple times. He says he's healthy and injury free. Maybe this is the spot for Daniel Berger at 35-1. He finished top 20 in Mexico last week. That actually, by the way, put him inside the FedEx Cup top 125 at 124. So not safe yet to keep his playing privileges, but he, you know, needs another one to give himself a good buffer. He's a very good win player, actually. Two times he's finished fourth at PGA National, which is exposed to win in one of the tougher courses that they play on the tour for the Cognizant Classic. So Daniel Berger, 35-1. Jacob Bridgman, 40-1. Probably going to keep that tour card. He's at number 115, tour rookie this year. Five top 20s this season, but four of those five have come in his last seven starts. So, you know, as the field quality has declined a little bit, he started to play a little bit better, maybe gaining some confidence here. So Jacob Bridgman, 40-1. Kevin Yu, 45-1, who actually won earlier in the fall series at the Sanderson Farms a few weeks ago in that playoff over Bo Hosler. Third on debut here in 2022. Very good, despite the fact he's a pretty long hitter. He's very good on short courses, Bermuda courses, like at the American Express, at the Malaysian Open, ninth at the Cognizant Classic, at PGA National. He's currently in the 60 spot for that next 10 we talked about to get in those first two signature events. So a decent week for Kevin Yu. He's probably going to be playing at the Century in Pebble Beach. And then the two longer shots, Ben Cole, 75-1, should have won that CJ Cup at Byron Nelson in Dallas earlier this year, made that mess of that final hole, and Taylor Pendrith ended up benefiting. He's made a lot of cuts lately, 11-14. Bermuda's his best service with the putter. That's usually kind of a little shaky part of his game. He's a very good ball striker. So Ben Cole, 75-1. And then kind of continuing with the theme last year, remember Camilo Villegas in his 40s, who hadn't won in so long, finally won an event and got the benefits of winning that event. I'm going to go with another guy in his early 40s that battled some injuries. Used to be a guy that would win semi-regularly. He was actually fifth here last year. Ryan Moore, 115-1. He is at 152 now in that FedEx Cup points deal. So that's two below conditional status. So he needs a big leap to get in that 125 to keep those full playing privileges. But Ryan Moore has played well on these type of courses. Remember, he was always really good at the CIMB in Kuala Lumpur over in Malaysia. So he's good in kind of these, like, you know, score fest, Bermuda, resort type tracks. So Ryan Moore, 115-1 is my long shot this week.
I actually share two plays with you. We'll talk about those here momentarily. Kelly Bidlin, what does your card look like?
Yeah, just three for me this week, all in the outright market. I don't think I'll be mixing it up more than that. The wind factor is large. So I think you got to be careful with some top 20s and stuff like that this week, especially at a birdie fest. So just three outrights for me this week. I'll start with my old guy. I went with Lucas Glover here this week. I just can't get past these. Probably the premier ball striker of this field. Everything he's done on approach, you're talking about, he really rated out probably as the top guy for me this week. So played him
fourth
at 30.
Mine, yeah. Fourth.
Yeah. It was too consistent, rated out too consistently high for me to ignore at 30-1. So played him just kind of hoping he can out iron everybody. And you know what? His putting numbers are better of late. So, you know, I think some of that has to do with some of the fields he's played in here in the fall. But still, putting numbers for Lucas Glover looking a little bit better recently. As far as the fall goes, T24 last week, T3 at the Black Desert, T3 at the Sanderson Farms, T13 the Pro Course. So has played pretty well here in the fall. Did play Ben Griffin 20. 20-1, definitely shorter than I was planning on going in this event, but kind of all the win numbers I kind of looked at, like he rated out really high there. So T24 last week, T22 at the Zozo, missed the cut at the Shriners, T11 at the Black Desert. Like I said, good win player. Last 24 rounds, he's 11th in good drives gained, 12th in distance, 20th in approach, 8th in birdies or better. So kind of everything I'm looking for there. Wasn't planning on going as low as 20-1, but ended up betting him. And then Nico Echevarria, was he on your card last week, Matt?
No.
I'm just I'm really good at making things up this podcast.
You are. He's 11th in my model this week, though. So yeah,
won at the Zozo a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to ride the hot hand here, Wes, because of that. Yeah, he won at the Zozo, T6 last week. He had a miscut at the Shriners, but T11 at the Black Desert. So just trying to ride the hot hand here to finish off the season. 23rd on approach, last 12 rounds, first on opportunities gained, second birdie or better, and third in first in par threes. Rated out kind of in my models over the last 12 rounds. So those three, Nico was like 35-1 range. I bet him at 36-1. So Ben Griffin, Lucas Glover, and Nico Echevarria for me.
So I did the same thing I did last week. I ran the model and then I just went with the longest odds guys that are basically inside the top 20 in the model. And then, again, trying to hit a bigger number, almost worked out with Carson Young last week. Yeah. And so just going back to the well again with this one, short course, if the wind isn't terrible, they can all go crush this thing. So we'll just go with that. I'll start with the two that I share with Wes. I have Jacob Bridgman. I also have Ben Coles. Bridgman was the cutoff. He was 20th in my model and would have probably have been higher, but I weighted total driving decently, and he's actually 47th in this field in total driving, and that probably bumped him down a decent amount. If I had not weighed total driving as much as I did, he would probably be inside the top 10. So okay. Jacob Bridgman, Ben Coles comes in at 16th in the model. He would be higher if it wasn't for scrambling. He is 113th in this field in scrambling. He cannot scramble at all, but maybe he won't have to. Really big greens and stuff like that. So maybe he will be able to, hold him if the wind isn't blowing and all of that. So Ben Coles in there for me. So we'll go to the guy at the top up here. So the model, just so everybody knows, the top five were Doug Gim, Johnny Vegas, but their odds were, I can't pay the odds for Doug and Johnny Vegas that they're with it. So third overall in the model is Rico Hoey. So Rico Hoey makes the card for me this week. Third Your overall. Turn. Again, if you go, first overall in this field in the last, I did last 30 rounds for me. So first overall in this field, total driving, sixth in good drive percentage, 13th in birdie or better gained, 11th in birdie or better percentage, 7th off the tee. I mean, a bunch of stuff that you can like about Rico Hoey here, basically, in this one. And inside the top 15 in strokes gained on short courses as well. So Rico Hoey makes the card for me. Next guy comes in is Henrik Norlander, who is 10th overall in the model for me. Same kind of deal, really good in a lot of the stuff that I was going after. The only thing that knocked him down was scrambling, but again, maybe he doesn't have to scramble. So, that's, I'm okay with that. The fact that if they're getting bumped down for scrambling, whatever. I mean, maybe I get lucky and they don't have to scramble, because the same can be said for Nick Hardy, who was 12th overall in the model, getting some decent odds on him. 108th in this field and scrambling over the last 30 rounds. So again, another dude that probably would be, I don't know, 7th, 8th, something like that, if I didn't have scrambling in here at all. So again, I can punt that and not really worry about that, because maybe that won't come into play. And final guy here, so 6th on the card for me this week, Grayson Sigg. So Grayson Sigg coming in at 17th.
He was one of my last leave-offs, actually.
Yeah, so he coming in 17th overall in the model for me this week. Look, he does not have as many, if you guys know how the model things work, he's not as green across the board as every one of the other guys that I just said, but one of the things that I do like about him is he's either on or he's off, and like I'm kind of okay with that on a course in a tournament like this, right? I mean, like, you see he's either green across the board or he's basically red across the board, right? He can go out and be super streaky, hot and cold. When it comes to this, you can look no further than kind of his recent stuff here you know, if we start in the fall, you know, T4 at the Pro Corps, then he gets cut, then T11 at Black Desert, T23 at the Shriners, and the two, like, five tournaments before that, he got cut in all five of the tournaments before the Pro Corps, you know. So just a dude that I can ride the hot streak with him on a what may turn out to be a birdie fest type deal for Grayson Sigg. So
kind of interesting. Yeah. Kind of interesting there, because I had just kind of when I first looked over odds Sunday night and circled a couple guys, Bridgman and Sigg were two names that I circled. Based on stuff we've done this fall, I'm kind of shocked Bridgman didn't rate out higher for me. He just didn't end up getting there. So I kind of crossed him off, but I don't know. One last pod play for the year, I might have to roll with it.
Jacob Bridgman. So just to recap here, Rico Hoey, Henrik Norlander, Nick Hardy, Ben Coles, Grayson Sigg, and Jacob Bridgman. That is in the order that they appear in my model. So that's the order that we're going here. If you're wondering who I like the very best out of all of this, or at least who the model likes very best out of all of this. Guys, if you haven't done so already, obviously this podcast is free. So if you do subscribe, that helps us out, helps us climb the charts. And if you want to be really cool, if you want a little bit of money following us here on this thing, if you want to leave a rating and a review, that would also help us out at least a little bit. Make the bosses think that, you know, you guys love us, that you guys like us. They won't fire us maybe, you know, so just go in, do some stuff like that. If you have 2 seconds, do appreciate that. Guys, it is, you know, I don't, maybe we'll be back next week. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe we'll see, you know, I mean, is this it, Kelly? You make the decision. You make the call.
It's it for me. I'll tell you that much. Tuesday, I'm busy next week, boys. You can do one if you want.
There you go.
My sounder's got erased. I guess it's the official end of golf season. I can't play our pod play sounder. I was maybe trying to frantically during the pod try to upload the Green Day. What was it? The graduation song. Hope you had the time of your life.
Yes,
that song. Thank you,
Wes. The Seinfeld.
Ah, there you go. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. All right, Jacob Bridgman, pod play.
There we go.
Last pod play of the year.
Last pod play of the season, Jacob Bridgman. There we go. We'll get that done. Guys, we do appreciate you being here with us this entire golf season. A lot of you guys reach out on Twitter, and it's really cool to see that not only are you listening, but hopefully cashing some tickets and stuff along the way as well. We do appreciate each and every one of you guys. Try to answer each and every one of the questions we get as well along the way. And, you know, we come back in January, nice and refreshed, getting football season starting to get behind us a little bit there, Kelly. So looking forward to a very strong 2025 as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it coming back. Looking forward to playing some of the big names, getting through this fall swing here. But like Matt said, we couldn't do any of this without all you guys. All the comments and everything and tweets we get and everything like that are really nice. We really appreciate that. And it's the stuff like that that keeps us going and keeps us going for as many tournaments as we have. So good season. Maybe not my best golf betting season, but we'll be back in 2025. And hopefully we got a little bit more we can get accomplished next year.
One more thing off your plate though, Wes. Wes has to handicap 77 different sports.
I do it because I'm a glutton for punishment. By the way, a couple golf shout outs here. Bernard Longer, how about this? 67 years old, he wins the last event of the year after he ruptures his Achilles earlier this year and won the final Champions Tour event. He's won every single year on the Champions Tour, so he keeps winning. And the biggest golf story actually this week, we didn't cover because Golf Channel is going to be covering it. I've never seen the Golf Channel on a Wednesday televise a pro-am at a golf tournament, especially on the LPGA tour. They are going to do that because one Caitlin Clark is going to be at the Annika this week, playing with Annika and Nelly Korda tomorrow. So if you want a little pro-am golf, Golf Channel will be all over it on Wednesday.
All right. That's great. I thought that was for sure going the Charlie Woods route until he said LPGA, and then I got really confused.
Yeah.
I can't watch that because she's going to be better than me, and then I'm just going to like want to
her swings. Yeah, you sound like Aaliyah Boston when they went to like Top Golf. Like, God, you have to be good at everything.
I can't do it. Like I just like ram my head through the glass wall if I go out there and like watch her just like this perfect swing.
I'm sure she got some good tips from Tyrese Halliburton the other night.
Yeah, I will not be tuning in, all right? In protest, because I know she's got a better swing than I do.
Guys, again, appreciate you this season. We will be back in January. Good luck on all your Bermuda bets.